a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Gwyneth Paltrow, bless her. Mm. She's done a lot of different things across the journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's 52 and she, good on her. She's been taking care of herself the whole time. She's a bit of a, you know, an almond mum, you could say.
Ooh.
She's a bit kind of like, she's into wellness and everything. And
yeah.
If you go into a deep dive of her life, actually Shameless Podcast have a really good kind of deep dive into her.
Yeah.
Because her dad was really sick and that kind of spurred in her that she wanted to, you know, be all about wellness and everything. And then sometimes, you know, that can go, you can go too well, you know. Sometimes you can focus a bit too much on wellness, and
yeah.
she has been accused of
and
that
you
in
never
the past
wear shoes again.
Well, yes, not so much that, but getting into other things. But she shared a video of herself cooking breakfast in her gourmet kitchen, right? And this just happened. And she's got her hair pulled back. I mean, Gwyneth is a natural woman.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you always expect a lot of linen with her.
You
and
make me feel like.
Yeah. Anyway, she, though, was topless at the stove and she was sautéing some sausage and eggs for a protein-packed breakfast.
Okay.
And the topless part got me because have I not lived? I've walked around the house naked, but I've never cooked naked before.
It's very stingy.
Is cooking naked a thing?
Well, if you're making breakfast particularly with like
no, but do you cook naked? Have you cooked naked before? Because I find it disgusting, number one.
Well,
like, I don't want your skin. I think the skin is contained under the clothing and I like that. And there's also skin from certain parts on your body. I don't want then floating on to my sausage and eggs.
Yeah, I've cooked nude before.
Have you really?
I think only once or twice.
Look, 52232955. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe you cook nude all the time. I'd love to hear from you. But I feel like, are we doing spag bowl? Is it just breakfast?
Anything.
Are you making like, is it like yogurt? I mean, that's not classed as cooking. But it's like, are you making muffins nude? Like, why are we cooking nude? Why did you cook nude?
This was when I was living in Darwin, so it was just hot and I just sort of was
no pants, like,
just wake
so you're talking like no pants on, nothing?
Yeah. That's
really?
How that generally I'll have sort of shorts on or something, but I've cooked topless lots of times.
Yeah, well, topless isn't like whatever for you.
Yeah,
like
exactly,
men
yeah.
topless, you know,
yeah.
whatever. Like free the nip is what I would say, and good on you, Gwyneth, for doing that. But it's just like, maybe it's the fact that I have a window right there.
Yeah, but I mean, some people enjoy that as well.
Well, I'm sure they would. I mean, you know.
Best quadrant.
But but cooking naked, I just feel like I've missed out. Is it something that I should force myself to do, you think?
Ease into it. Start with just an apron on.
Oh, you would love that, wouldn't you?
And then.
You would love that. What, like an apron with like a cartoon on it?
What do you mean? No, get an apron with the boobs on it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like one of those. Just kind of settle in first.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what Tony from Cry was going to say. Morning, Tony.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good.
You're live on air, mate. Yeah. Are you a nude cooker?
I've done it once.
And
all I'll say is don't cook bacon and eggs.
Yes, that's what I'll say too. You got the scars to prove it there, Tone.
Yeah.
I have, mate. I thought I'd do a romantic breakfast and it was painful.
Yeah.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Let's get in the tank.
He's more savvy than a yabby. A selfish little shellfish. K-Rock's own shrimp. Pimp. Welcome to Lingy's Prawn Tank.
Ah, water's nice.
Pimp. It's quite warm. It seems like...
It's tropical.
We could be in here... But if we're in here too long, like we think we're having a good time, we might be getting cooked.
Well, we might. And because, you know, this guy can cook people with a stare, a big prawn.
Well, you're going to sell me on an idea. I'm going to work out whether or not it's worth investing in, a la that other thing, Shark Tank. I mean, that wasn't a big idea. The prawn tank's a much better idea.
Yeah.
We just went with this because you knew no one would ever believe you're a shark. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Log,
prawn, absolutely.
Are you going to be the one who sells me on this?
I am. And I'm here to pitch you an idea.
Okay. Okay.
Into the microphone.
Beforehand, please. No, but I was going to say, beforehand, I was about to say, me and you,
yeah.
Just remember, like, we're a team.
We're on a team. Okay,
we're on a team, okay,
support each other.
Normally what happens is that I step out of the elevator into the tank, and because it's got an elevator in it, and you're like, oh, you're stuffing it all. What does that mean? No, I don't need that.
Okay.
We've spent a lot of time and money. We're partners in this.
Supportive energy.
Supportive energy.
Okay, here I am. Here I am.
All right. Good start, by the way.
No, you're not seeing this. This is behind the scenes.
We're not out of the lift yet.
Yeah, shut up.
Am I allowed to come out of the lift or do I stay?
Yeah, no, you can come out of the lift. You can be with me too.
Okay, great.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Hi.
Hey.
Sorry, I went too early.
No, it's all right.
You go.
Hello, Prawn. Great to see you. Looking great. You know what? You look like you got a bit of sun damage, and I think I know where that's come from because you seem like a guy that takes care of your car and your skin. And what happens with a car is you get windows tinted, but what can't happen? Mm. You can't get the front windscreen tinted, can you?
No. Illegal.
Illegal. Illegal. Illegal. But have you noticed the winter sun? Has it been getting you right in the eyeballs lately?
Mm.
And you know what? You put down the visor, it doesn't do anything, does it? We've all felt like that. We've all felt like that. We put the hand up and we're like, oh, God, and you got to hold the hand there, drive with one hand, unsafe, unsanitary. So this is what I propose. Sometimes you're driving, you can't find your sunnies, and sunnies aren't good enough to get rid of that winter sun glare. What about sunnies for your windscreen?
Ooh, okay. Tell me what you mean.
Okay, so I've got a visor
that
folds down more, but instead of being something you can't see through, it's like sunnies for your visor.
It's like tinted glass. Sort
tinted
of thing.
Glass.
Well, maybe not glass, but like plastic sort of.
So like a tint for your windscreen, but it's not on your windscreen. It's a visor.
It's a part of your visor. You can also fold it down, yes, but you can fold it out a little bit to the left and the right.
Yeah,
so you are still safe. You are still seeing through. You are sun safe. Good for you. You know what I mean, Mr. Broad? Good for you. And your eyes thank you.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking of.
I like where you're headed with this.
Really, yeah.
Have you checked it with whether or not it's legal?
What it does is falls in sort of out of six of the seven states and territories in a sort of legal black hole sort of ambiguous area.
Yeah. So that's what we're riding on.
So, okay.
So they would have to legislate against it.
And I mean, who's got the time to do that?
No, and, you know, or the inclination.
Yeah.
But right now we want to hit because we've sold already 50,000 units of this product.
We have.
People are loving it and they're finding that it really stops brain aneurysms also.
Whoa, awesome. Big claims being made. Are you backing those ones up, Tom?
Yep. That escalated.
Because, you know, like, do you feel like
that?
No, you know when you're driving and the winter sun's getting you and you're like, this is like painful for me and my brain?
Can I say, interesting tactic is to open with an insult because you started with, you look sun damaged to me. Appreciate that.
No, because
and
you're prawn.
And to finish with an outlandish medical claim. Interesting tactic. Everything in between, worth having a little look into.
Oh, my God.
So it's not a no.
It's not a no.
But it's not a yes.
And can we just say copyright? That is my idea.
Yeah.
Well, you've sold 50,000 units already.
Well, that's
according
how,
to your claims.
That's how. We've actually got a caller. Can we take a
call? Let's go to a caller.
Matt from Kerr Lewis, welcome to the Prawn Tank. You're live on air. You want to add something to this?
Yeah, I do. I'd just like to add that it's already out there in the market. I don't know that you did your research first properly.
Oh, I love it, Maddie.
Sorry, Matt. We can't hear you there.
You're going through a tunnel.
I can hear you loud and clear, Maddie.
It's that classic Kerr Lewis tunnel.
Yeah, but mine's better because it's made with love.
Orange-tinted ones to take the glare out.
Orange-tinted ones.
I see. If you'd gone orange, I would have bought it even more.
Damn it.
Maddie's onto it.
All right. That's all right. Well, he liked it, and that's the main thing of Prawn Tank, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get one over the prawn.
That's right. And so you did get one.
To bend him over the barrel.
Hang on. We didn't say that.
No.
Can I play the thing now?
Yeah.
He's more yabby than a yabby. A selfish little shellfish. K-Rock's own shrimp. Pimp. Welcome to Lingy's Prawn Tank. Tom,
Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
We are talking expensive typos here because, Tommy, you noticed something that happened in Maroubra, one of those commemorative plaques that often are on a park bench or a seat or something like that, for this particular lady who sadly passed away last year, 2024.
Yeah.
But it turns out, according to the plaque, she was born in 2047.
That's right. So she's a time-travelling wizard. may she rest, though. No, so that's an expensive typo. The City of Randwick, the mayor, has said that they will get it fixed, but I don't reckon he's paying for it. Where are you getting that money? You're definitely getting it from the ratepayers.
Yes, 100%. So we're talking expensive typos now. 52232955. We've got Becky from Lara. Morning, Becky. What's your expensive typo?
We had the wrong, incorrect spelling on my son's passport. Got to the airport, we couldn't lodge his passport in, it wouldn't work properly. We're like, what's going on? And then they've gone, oh, this is a ticket, this is how your son's name's spelled. So instead of being L-I, they'd spelt it on the passport, L-L.
Oh, and you can't tell because it's
tricky. Tricky. L and I, they do, they can look very similar, can't they?
So couldn't go on the holiday?
Well, we did. It was a bit of a mad rush. It was an early flight, so rushing, like trying to get on the phones, emails, trying to change the ticket to then reflect the spelling error on his passport. So we had to pay to get all the tickets changed. We got someone onto us at the last minute, so we were able to get there, but we were looking at changing flights, seeing what we could do. And, pretty much just made it. And then Passport Office did have to fix it for free, but it did cost us money to change tickets over.
Yeah.
So there's the dollar cost plus the just ball of stress.
Absolutely.
What a relaxing holiday.
I would have tried just put him on my shoulder, get a trench coat, put a hat on top of him and just see if we can get through security.
We're one person. Paul from Leopold's on the line as well. What's your expensive typo, Paul?
I had a specially made fire pit with grandchildren's names on each side for my mother for Christmas a few years back, and they spelt my brother's eldest kid's name wrong.
Oh, my goodness. What was the name?
Campbell.
Right. And Campbell without a P, or...?
Yeah, exactly right. They left the P off.
Ah.
Damn.
So is it just kind of used anyway?
Well, it is, but the brother doesn't like the fact that his firstborn son has the name spelled wrong.
But as he's, you get all that effort.
Yeah, as he's sitting around the fire, just and you've offered him another beer, he'll be fine with it.
It'll be right.
It burnt off. Meg's in Torquay. Morning, Meg.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. What's the expensive typo?
Oh, it's a very important form that unfortunately some of us have to get, and it was the divorce papers.
Oh, okay.
I know. How could they get it wrong? Like, seriously.
So what was it? Which name was wrong?
It was the surname. So it was, and it is a difficult name, being it was Fijian. So the spelling at the end was a U, but they put it as a V. It was just a real pain because you had to go back and really go through the procedure and file again and show that you'd already done it and, get it. It wasn't a simple process.
Unfortunately, lawyers don't charge much, so it's all
right.
Yeah, right.
No dramas there.
Real shame you had to find out that you didn't know who you were married to twice, hey?
That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. All right. Michelle and Armstrong Creek, wrap this up for us. It's news time, but what was the expensive typo?
Oh, yeah, morning, guys. It was actually my wedding invitation. So I had, cocktail finger food. It was like a cocktail party, and they left out the C. So it was C-O-K. It was a bit of a joke for a while.
Yeah, can't wait to go to that one.
Yeah, sounds like a real party. The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. I don't usually get real on the show, but had a sort of little chat with Carlia last night, and we realised a couple of things that aren't super cool, we aren't super happy with. It's a couple of just incidents that have sort of happened over the last couple of weeks that with both our girls, it was sort of like, it's kind of really sucks.
Yeah.
And I thought it's worth talking about because it doesn't get talked about often enough. Now, you're a father of boys, Cameron, so I'd be really interested to get your take on this. But we've obviously got the two girls. They're 3 and they're 6. Kalia took Goldie to the shops the other day and went to the village and went to the playground there. And Goldie was running around playing, minding her own business, whatever. A little boy arrived and walked into the playground, and she sort of shrunk away into a corner and sort of just sort of, you know, was like sort of watching him, whatever. And Kalia went over, just, what's going on, baby? What's wrong? And she said, oh, I didn't want to startle him. I didn't want to, like, there's a
really?
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that seems, in a bubble, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Mm. But Indy said the other day, we're talking about CEO. She's been learning about what a CEO is. Mm. And so I've been talking to her about that. But then she said to Kalia in passing, do you know what girls can also be? CEOs. Mm. Instead of, how about the message being, do you know what boys can also be? Mm. CEO.
Yeah.
You know what anyone can be? It's not like this amazing, so her perspective.
Revelation.
She's 6 years old, and she's and her perspective is, oh, and girls can even be this.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's like a, so we
that's
obviously.
That's the default.
Yeah, that's the default. And so our messaging at home is always, you know, girl forward, girl power, sort of, you know, trying to empower them as much as we can. But the weight of the world and the way just, you know, they're conditioned and the messaging is that, oh, yeah, you can have a go at it too if you, no.
Mm.
Have you seen how the world is run by men? Like,
they're so emotional. Like, they shouldn't be in charge of, you know,
men, women, like the, that's the cliche.
No, men just emotional.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I mean, we talk about how much is men's behaviour is driven by fear. But then another one is Indy at school. They line up with their school bags and to go into class, and the boys bang barrel through. You watch the girls; they all step back, they all shrink themselves to get out of the way of guys. So what I want to know is what are we doing as parents of girls, girl dads, girl mums, to make our girls feel like they're the ones that deserve to barrel through and to be big and to take up space. Mm. Get out of the way of our girls. Don't make our girls shrink and hide themselves away. And you know, it just, I don't know, as a father of boys, what is your take on that?
Fair questions you're asking there too. But say the one heading into the classroom and that almost boisterousness of the boys, I certainly know with my boys, that's the natural inclination is to run everywhere or almost search out physical contact, which drives me nuts sometimes because they are constantly wanting to wrestle and play fight and almost tackle and everything. Like, it's always searching out this. So there's a natural inclination to just rush into everything.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want to stop that because I think it's a human nature thing, but you kind of want anyone who wants to charge through into, you know, metaphorically or literally to go for it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to answer your question about how you get how the girls' same mindset.
Mm.
I don't think it's a matter of saying boys don't wrestle. And from a father of boys' perspective here, they need to have that wrestling and rushing and running and jumping and
outlet.
Climbing and that physical outlet, because then I think it calms them to a point where when it comes to learning and interactions that they've got a level of calmness.
I'm not having a go at little boys. I think they have nothing to do. It's not their fault. It's literally from the womb, the messaging, the overwhelming societal messaging is girls need to be quiet and you know, timid and particular and proper to be accepted and to be okay.
Is that still the messaging though?
Well, there may be some shift, but have a look. That's not the messaging we're giving our girls, but they've already learnt that just by being part of the world. I mean, Goldie's 3 and she doesn't want to startle. How about you do startle a boy, and if he gets startled, who cares? That's his problem.
Mm.
Yeah, I reckon, and I would say, the boy probably would go, let's play.
Yeah,
the interaction would be, I don't know, I mean, everyone's different, but would be like, yeah, cool, let's go. So there wouldn't be the startling factor. I don't know. I can't answer your question because I don't have first-hand experience other than I would hope the messaging has changed a lot over the last certainly 10, 20 years, 15. Am I kidding myself there, Log? I don't know.
Well, this is the thing, right? We want to believe that we are different nowadays, but a lot of people still, if you say, I went to the doctor, your thing would be like, what did he say?
Mm.
That's the natural to always be like, oh, and the, you know, the pilot was good. Oh, yeah, did he come on the, he.
Yeah.
And this is why they, it's like, I know that I'm an angry feminist, whatever, but you kind of have to because the message still doesn't get across. So it's everyone always assumes that people in high-powered paying jobs and everything are men. And that's mainly because a lot of the time they are men.
They have been.
And
yeah,
they have been across the journey. And you know what? The statistics is there's not a lot of CEO women. There's hardly any, to be honest. So that's we've got to change so much about the world in itself to get that messaging through there. But I guess as dads of girls, I mean, you're coming from a really great place. That's amazing to be like, no, you can do anything and be anything or whatever.
Yeah.
But the world's still got a very long way to go.
Yeah.
Very long way to go.
I just urge everybody, if you've got young girls in your life, really, really think about the way you are interacting with them and the messaging you're giving them and just do everything you can to empower them. Let them be big and brash and loud and shout and whatever, and to hell with whatever everybody else thinks, you know?
Tom, Lingy and Rocky. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.